KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are only 77 minutes away, give or take, from the drawing to determine who will throw out the first pitch from the fan at the Texas Rangers game on August 31st. But we're less than 7 seconds away from the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Your level of concern.
Oh, man!
For other people around me if I don't win this thing.
I'm concerned for me.
Yeah.
And Alec, because we will directly be right next to you, and I feel like we're closest to you, and so you will take it out on us the most.
Alec, one thing I would suggest is just have something that you can throw in the air that I can punch. Like, just something in your hand that you can just be like, oh, Corey's walking my way, and then throw it in the air, and I'll just, that'll be the thing I punch. Because I don't want to punch y'all.
I appreciate that.
But I can't make any guarantees whenever the blind rage of not winning this thing happens.
I think you should manifest it differently. How many hugs are you going to give out when you do win it?
Aw.
You hate hugs.
Bare I know. Hugs. I don't want a hug.
You're getting
hugged. Saying to other people.
You're going to hug. You're going to get picked up.
Oh, man.
It'll be crotch first hug, that. Too.
What?
Man, I need to tell you a story off air. Go ahead.
You don't know what a crotch first hug is?
I mean, I have an idea.
Come here.
Just a little bump action.
Yeah. Nothing wrong.
So, that's happening at 2:20 today. We'll be rocking with the G-Bag Nation. There'll be some Zoom action, I presume. Is Choppy going to be on Zoom for this? He's in Michigan.
That's a great question. He should be. Do you also think it's weird that, like, it's happening on their show, but it's happening here?
Yeah.
It's like a simulcast.
I also think it's weird your level of concern that Choppy's not here for it.
No, I think this works out perfectly for Choppy, and I'll tell you why. Because if he wins, he wins. But when he doesn't win, he can claim that it was rigged against him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He could be like, I would have won if I was there. Like, somehow that would have made a difference.
Kevin, somebody texted in from the 325. I was at a Greyhound bus stop recently. Got me a drink and a snack. Didn't physically scan any items or anything. I scanned my card. When I walked in, it automatically charged me for whatever I grabbed and walked out. It was wild. That was the first experience I had like that was in, I think it was LAX.
Is that the airport?
Or San Francisco,
yes.
One of those two.
Yes.
And then at Globe Life. They have the same setup at Globe Life where you can go in and get some things and walk right out. And the lady told me that, and I was like, what are you talking about?
It is very strange.
What is this wizardry?
That's fair.
And what are they scanning? My face?
I guess. I honestly am not sure.
I don't even know how that works. Guys, you might notice that Corey is not wearing a tank top today.
Fraud.
Alec is wearing a tank top. And Alec said, it's okay, Corey, this morning. He said, it's going to be 150,000 degrees outside. I was wearing a tank top, whether it was you were wearing one or not. And Alec, you look fantastic yet again, dude.
Thanks, man.
Kid's jacked.
He really is.
Can't see me on cam. I'm sorry.
But I told you, Kevin, and I don't know if I'm going to bring it up to Skip, especially if they lose tonight. Somebody did say that they're in the Founders suite tonight, so stop giving the Rangers bad juju. Hey, I hope they win.
Man.
But after this weekend of baseball, I just could not bring myself to continuing on. I didn't feel like they were given
the tank top.
Yeah, I didn't feel like they were given the same effort.
Whoo, that is a heavy accusation.
Or, okay, maybe they were given the effort. They're just not good.
Okay.
And that's what I was feeling.
That I can see.
You know what? You're right. They didn't lose 15-0. Kevin, let me rip these sleeves off right now. Actually, this is a brand new shirt, so I don't want to do that.
I'm going to be honest with you, Corey. What? There was a tiny part of me that thought when we walked through the glass doors and you saw Alec, that you were going to be like, oh, and then go and rip your sleeves off. And when you didn't, I was a little sad.
From the 817, and if we lose tonight, definitely blaming Corey. Look, we had lost after the last Tank Top Tuesday.
If you go back a little ways, I might blame you. But I see now we got an in with Skip either way.
Yeah, I think we're okay. Yeah, he's got a...
Do you think he's at the point, though, if you're like, do you think he lost because I don't have a tank top on? He's like, no, I think we lost because we can't find a way to consistently hit the ball.
I think if I asked that question, hey, do you think you lost because I didn't wear a tank top, he would hang up.
That's probably fair.
He might call us back, though, but he would definitely hang up. And I would, you know what? I'd think that was okay.
All right.
All right, I did after our show yesterday, I was like, this is must-listen radio. I have to listen to what Broaddus is about to say.
Oh, man. And I heard it has continued on social media.
And Eric was still like, hey, I love this move. He was excited.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I listened to what Broaddus said, and it made a lot of sense. I think the main focus on him was when I went back and watched him, which how many of y'all have done that is what he was basically asking,
which I think is
world.
Fair.
And cause Sean had asked me that morning. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I really haven't, but he was like, I went back and watched him and I didn't feel like he was the same dude. I felt like there were some things that were missing in his game. And then, he said, I don't want him to be a progress stopper for Malachi Lawrence. Now, I don't think he's going to be a progress stopper. I think he's actually going to help Malachi Lawrence in this. You're not going to overexpose Malachi Lawrence. Now, Malachi Lawrence needs development, but you have a full season for this guy to grow.
Yeah.
And I think each week you can learn a little with a few plays, or you know, a handful, 10, 15, 20, whatever number you want to put on Malachi Lawrence, and I think he'll get better. But I understand where you're coming from saying, hey, if you're going to put this guy out there that much, it's going to be a problem. Now, if James Houston is cut for it, that's another question of like, hold on, do you think he's better than James Houston right now? So that's where that conversation really does splinter in a lot of different directions. Your level of concern that Von Miller isn't what he used to be. I did go back and watch one thing. And that was his sacks. I watched a highlight reel of him that showed the sacks and pressures he had. And then I noted the tackles he was going up against. And I noted the fullback or tight end that he was going up against. And I was like, oh, these aren't the best right tackles in all of the NFL. Matter of fact, some of these guys are backup tackles that he's getting these sacks against. One of them was the Raiders. Offensive tackle, which didn't we talk about having a field day against the Raiders because of how bad they were? So, like, the conversation of, you know what, he wasn't going up against the best in the NFL when it came to getting these sacks. That being said, I didn't ask the question, how many good tackles are there in the NFL? Like, seriously, aren't we discussing constantly how there aren't enough good offensive linemen out there?
Well, yeah, because I think it was yesterday that Mickey mentioned it when we were talking about, hey, maybe you got to look elsewhere for your swing tackle. And then him and Isaiah Stanback were talking, and he was like, there's not enough regular tackles for the entire league, let alone finding a quality swing tackle. So just to backtrack real quick, my level of concern is really, really low, like 50 pounds. That Von Miller is not what he used to be, because I know he's not what he used to be, but I don't think that's what you brought him in or are paying him.
Yeah.
For.
And the hope is also that that the younger guys can learn from him at the same time.
And I definitely think they can.
And as you brought up with BT Jordan, like this guy said, hey, no, I think he's still got this at least in him.
Yeah.
And he can help me get my message across on some of the things that I'm suggesting. Because, you know, you hear it from the coach. It's fine, but then you hear it from a teammate, and you're like, oh, I'll take that.
I mean, how many people do you get to interact with that genuinely are going to go to the Hall of Fame that you're like, I am your teammate now?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Not a ton.
Yeah, Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
I did look through this, Alec. One elite all-pro right tackle that you'll play twice this year. You have a couple of Pro Bowl caliber guys that are ranked in the top 10. Then everything else, essentially you have 8 to 12 tackles that you will play for the rest of the year that are below average or average. And so that's where that conversation comes in. And those could change too, because at the moment, not all those guys are starters. And this, you know, we're still in preseason right now, but this is what we kind of are looking at. So he might be able to get, this is why I brought up, he might be able to get that 8.5 sacks. He might be able to get his 7. He might be able to do that.
I hope that is what we start calling that.
Nom, 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 nom it. Yes. But there, and that's why I kind of, I was like 6, because I think some of the opportunities might be limited because you do have a real rotation. You're not asking the guy to do everything.
Yeah.
So that's my level of concern that he's not what he used to be. I'm right there with you, Kevin, in that I'm not expecting a whole ton, but I do expect the room to be better. And I think, Alec, we've been saying for most of the offseason, it's not going to be one dominant dude. It's going to be a bunch of guys collectively building a sack portfolio, if
yeah,
you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your level of concern that Malik Nabers is back. Kevin, I know you made mention of this earlier this morning, but Malik Nabers says the dog in him is barking and waking up.
Yeah, I think I am concerned because, I mean, he is an amazing, amazing player when he's healthy. So, yeah, no, I'm absolutely concerned because you want, look, we talk about it. I'm not in favor of the path of least resistance when it comes to playing. Or, I mean, I am in favor of the path of least resistance when it comes to the teams that my team is playing against. And their best weapon, heck yeah, I would rather if he was like, I'll be ready for week 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I am nervous.
Your level of concern for Yoxell Lindeborg.
Oh, what's up with him?
Now, he was on your favorite team, Michigan. You've been a longtime Michigan fan, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing a video game. It looks like Grand Theft Auto.
Oh.
And he said, quote, I'm finna give Dylan Brooks belt.
Did he mean in the game?
No, I think in real life.
Oh, dear.
And this dude has also said a lot of things that have already kind of got slapped back in his face a little bit around the league. But your level of concern for Yoxell Lindeborg when it comes to talking words out loud. Or is Dylan Brooks going to... Is Dylan Brooks going to be one of those guys that goes, and that's when I took it personal?
Yeah. So I'm only going to say 100 pounds because I'm not him or Dylan Brooks, and he does not play on my team.
Gotcha.
So I will say low, but I don't know. I kind of like trash talking on your way in the door. I could see how it could fail spectacularly, but I don't hate it.
I was going to do a cocaine story, but Kevin, I know there's a lot going on there. So I found another one.
What?
An Alabama high school football coach has resigned after he was being arrested for public intoxication while trying to impersonate a reporter to scout his week 1 opponent from the sideline.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of Michigan,
Jerry Foulkes approached officers and identified himself as a member of the media to request access to the sideline during a high school jamboree football game on Friday, August 14th. According to authorities, officers suspected that Foulkes was intoxicated and escorted him out of the stadium, determined he was actually intoxicated. He was arrested for public intoxication and transported to Marshall County Jail. But again, Kevin, he tried to act like he was a reporter so he could scout from the sidelines.
My level's high on this one. I'm going to go 1,500 pounds, and here's why. Getting drunk negates whatever information you were going to glean from being a reporter. You need to be sober as a judge when you roll up there as a reporter. First of all, A, to pull off the ruse, and B, to gather the relevant information.
It is true.
What are we doing here?
You can't be drunk trying to take notes from the coach after the game.
Exactly. You're going to be like, yeah, they ran a 7-man zigzag. And you're like, what the hell does that mean?
Why am I looking at my notes right now at all?
Yeah.
And then the coach, after in the post-game interview, what's he going to say? I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and watch the film. That's not going to be helpful to you.
Yeah.
You don't have the film.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, I'm concerned about this. Coaches,
I am too.
If you're a high school, middle school, NFL, or college scout, please do not get drunk and try to impersonate reporters on the sideline.
Can you just get the drop of him as saying if you're a high school? I just think feels like the makings of an amazing Yo Mama joke.
If you're a high school,
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. This show's really stupid. Coming up next, it's time for the Tuesday tailgate, the Tears of Teams Senior Day, and EA Sports is wild for this one. Next on The Fan.
Saying, sliding, now tries the right, end zone, touchdown Buckeyes! Max Clair, his first touchdown at Ohio State.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time for the Tuesday tailgate, ladies and gentlemen. Are you excited?
I have never been more excited.
Oh, man.
For what's about to happen an hour from now, Kevin.
Ooh, that's a good answer.
Ooh, I'm nervous now.
We are just 9 days away from the first college football games, and potentially only 13 days away from Corey throwing out the very first pitch at the Rangers game. In between, it will be the first entire weekend of college football. And we didn't really get a chance to dive into this yesterday. The AP poll is released. Play that highlight of Julian saying Ohio State is number one on the board. They are number one with 40 first place votes, followed by Oregon, Georgia, and Notre Dame. By the way, this is the first time I believe that Notre Dame has been ranked this high in a preseason poll in almost 20 years.
Wow.
Or maybe exactly 20 years. Followed by Texas, Indiana, Miami, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma. Interestingly enough, Indiana, the defending national champions, they are sixth despite getting the third most first place votes. So Oregon had 14, Indiana had 8. They are six on the list. For the SEC, they lead all conferences with 9 teams in the preseason top 25, marking the third straight year it has had at least 9 teams in the top 25. 5 of the top 10 teams are from the SEC for the first time since 2013. But what we have to remember is the last 3 champions have not been from the SEC.
Okay. Because
so, this is great.
It means more. And so they're beating up on each other, or they're just not as talented as they used to be.
I mean, I would listen to that excuse when it was just 4. Is like you had so many good teams that were putting marks on your record and that it kept you out of the playoff. But now that you've expanded to 12, and obviously we're just waiting for future expansion, I don't think you can use that answer anymore. I think you can easily lose 3 games and still make the playoff.
Yeah.
Depending on what your schedule looks like.
Nick Saban not being there has definitely changed things, right?
Yes.
For that, even that conference altogether. But I think Nick Saban left for a very specific reason. He knew he couldn't manage, and he would get embarrassed by a team that found some NIL money and was able to steal players.
At one point, he was practically begging for NIL money from their boosters.
Mm-hmm. And he realized that he was like, I don't have the power I used to have.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I will lose to an Indiana if this happens. And guess what? Here we are when an Indiana can go buy a championship. And Ohio State's always going to be up in the top part of that conversation anyway, because like they're pretty powerful in that conference as well. And they recruit well, dude. They just do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But just to show you how much college football has changed, think about this. Ohio State and Oregon, who are both in the Big Ten, this is the first time the same conference has had teams 1 and 2 in the preseason poll since Oklahoma and Nebraska were part of the Big 8 in 1987. So I just want you to think about that for a second. The Big 8 obviously doesn't exist anymore. It essentially merged with the Southwest Conference to create the Big 12. The current Big 12 looks almost nothing like the original. It looks nothing like the original Big 12. And then you have the Big 10. Imagine thinking that Oregon someday was going to be part of the Big 10. And how many teams do you think the Big 10 has?
16.
18.
Oh my gosh. When did they add 2 more?
So 24/7, 365. And so then you have the Big Ten, who has now achieved this with 18 teams. So it is a very bizarre look at how conferences have changed over the years.
Kevin.
Is this about college football?
No.
Okay, tell me.
First off, last night, I was at a school opening, and multiple Tolos said hello. I want to shout out Jeremy, Tolo Jeremy, from the 806. I was just at O'Reilly's and heard a guy behind the counter say bonus. The girl helping me replied, Rick Bonus, and I almost immediately said, I love you.
I'm happy for that person potentially. Personally, for me, this is most displeasing.
The KNC masterpiece is everywhere.
That
on your face.
That
back to college football for that the Tuesday is, tailgate.
That is true. All right. Now let's go to the concept of senior day. Ryan Day, he believes in senior day, but he also believes it's a distraction for Michigan week. So he's moved it up a week.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
He moved senior day to week one.
Huh? So you're, we're going to celebrate the end of your career.
Right.
The first day of your career.
Correct.
That ends your career.
Correct.
I don't like this.
When they're hosting Ball State at 11:30 in the morning.
Get a win. Get a win. Everybody's going to be excited to go party that night. Much, much. They're going to be so drunk by the time they get done with that.
I mean, and just Ohio State, and I know this is how it goes for a lot of college football teams, but look at how drunk Ohio State's schedule is to begin with. Before they start the march through the Big 18, they have Ball State in week one, which is now senior day.
Mm-hmm.
Then in week three for them, they have Kent State. In between, they're on the road against Texas. Wow!
That is a really drunk schedule right there. I think it's a great idea on his part, man. Really give those seniors something to start to kick their season off with, you know?
Well, and
plus,
he's...
Plus, how many seniors do you have anyway nowadays?
Man.
Nobody's sticking around.
Not the
that
good
long.
Ones.
Yeah.
Ryan Day said, quote, "We want to keep much of the focus on the game. And the more distractions we have," there's already enough distractions during that week, "so this was just one more thing that we felt we could move." And again, I totally get that. 2 weeks before that, you host Northwestern.
Hell yeah.
Do senior day then. So it still has all the makings of your faux homecoming. You're going to win, and then you can celebrate your seniors then.
Is Northwestern good?
No.
What about as a school?
As a school, they're excellent.
Okay.
As a college football team, I don't think I have super high hopes for them. They were fine last year.
You ever thought that the color purple for football is a little weird?
You know, I can't say I have.
Okay.
But
I just don't know.
I don't want to rule it out.
Name the purple successful teams.
Right behind you.
Oh, I love TCU. You know how much I love TCU.
Uh-huh.
Obviously.
Yeah, we've always said that. Aside from TCU. What about the Vikings? How are they doing?
They made it to four Super Bowls.
How'd they do?
They lost all of them.
What about Kansas State?
Man, they were good a while ago.
With Bill Snyder.
Yeah, and he kept coming back, and they're like, we're done with
you. How many championships does Northwestern have?
You know, they probably have an A&M-esque title back from when we were still fighting World Wars.
Oh, you know, the Ravens. I guess we should have gone with them first.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you hate the Ravens.
No, I obviously, you know, I love the
Ravens. All
right,
back to college football, Kevin.
All right, that's the second time you've had to say that in this segment. Give me cut number 10, please.
And a flag down. Might be a free play for Sellers. He'll take a shot, and it's pulled in, and it's a touchdown. What a throw by Sellers to Jacobs.
We are going to talk about South Carolina. Because College Football 27 from EA Sports has demanded it. South Carolina last year was 1-7 in the SEC. I thought Lenora Sellers had a shot to be the number one overall pick.
Dude, every time I watched him, I was like,
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be better than this.
He was not good last year. Well, guess what? EA College Football 27 says, get ready for one of the greatest turnarounds in the history of college football.
You're kidding me.
As they predict, the South Carolina Gamecocks will finish. Now, think about this for a minute. They said they're going to finish 13-3, 7-2 in the SEC, beat Georgia 38-3 in the SEC title game, and be the number one seed in the college football playoff. Three losses. Number one seed in the college football playoff. They will be the number one seed. Number two, USC, followed by Indiana, Utah, Boise State at five, Louisville, Georgia, Miami, LSU at nine, Oklahoma at 10, Notre Dame at 11, and the University of South Florida at number 12 will move into the tournament. We continue the season. Here are going to be your final four. It's going to be South Carolina against Boise State and USC against Louisville. Who wins? We'll get back to that.
Okay.
Now, other predictions from EA Sports. They say Heisman Trophy is going to come down to John Mateer, Michael Van Buren, a junior, Byron Brown, and Easton Messer. Those are going to be the final four. And the winner?
Steve Van Buren's kid?
I don't.
Great grandkid?
No, that is not Van Buren. It's Martin Van Buren.
Oh, okay, Martin Van Buren.
No, he's the USF quarterback. Byron Brown from the Auburn. He's an Auburn quarterback, Oklahoma quarterback, Mateer, and FAU wide receiver, Easton Messer.
Okay.
Ultimately, Brown will win the Heisman Trophy, become the fourth Heisman winner from that school, joining Cam Newton, Bo Jackson, and I definitely knew this one, Pat Sullivan.
You're telling me that Sellers has that spectacular of a season, and he doesn't even get a nod for it?
It does seem unfair, doesn't it?
It does seem unfair.
But will he care? Because we move back to the final four. South Carolina beats Boise State 31-13. And USC beats Louisville 42-40, which sets up the championship game. The number one seeded South Carolinas against the number two seeded USC's. I know that's not actually their mascot. And when it comes down to it, it is time to party for Jared Sandler, because King Miller has 25 touches for 105 yards, two touchdowns, and the Trojans defeat South Carolina 27-18 to win their first national championship in more than 20 years.
That's pretty awesome for King Miller.
Do you think any of that could actually happen? I would be pretty stunned if South Carolina was in the championship game.
Well, I mean, doesn't it like matter on how much money got invested in their teams this offseason that we don't know about, you know, that got taken? Because we talk about recruiting classes all the time, but there's other things that could be. The recruiting part of it is a lot of the times for the high school kids, right?
Sure.
How much of that conversation comes from the, what about whenever we went and bought a junior college team and just said, just bring them all with us. We're ready.
And you will absolutely have to have Lenora Sellers bounce back to the level of play that had people thinking he could be the number one pick. By the way, if this simulation is correct, these are some wild Heisman finalists. Mateer right now is 20-1. Brown is 40-1. And the other two aren't even listed on the odds to win the Heisman Trophy. So obviously you're thinking upwards of probably 200-1, if not more. I just thought that part of the discussion was really fascinating.
Would that be low ratings for college football playoff if those were the teams that were involved?
I think South Carolina would drag some stuff down, but USC seems to be a team that people love and people love to hate.
I'm even thinking like, Kevin, Boise State, Utah.
Yeah, this is not a TV executive's dream. Even Indiana against Louisville, like, I don't know about all of that. But if Cignetti could get Indiana back into the playoff and into the quarterfinals at least, I think, once again, that shows a lot for him as a coach. So there's your edition of the Tuesday Tailgate. We'll probably pick back up into going twice a week at least with college football starting right now. Coming up next, though, let's take you out to Globe Life Field to chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
2-0 pitch, swung on and a high drive hit to deep right center field. Way back goes Carter, and that ball is out of here. Tommy White hits his first home run, picks up his second run batted in, and he makes it 5-2 in favor of the A's on his first big league long ball.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. The struggling Rangers will be back in action today. Consider this. On their road trip against the Angels and the A's, they went 2-5 and averaged only 2.5 runs per game. We will pick up that discussion perhaps right now as we chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation, courtesy of D&M Leasing. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Hagee. How are you?
Man, I'm feeling good. And then I read this stat, and it did make me kind of sad. You guys are out at Globe Life Field. The Rangers went 2-5 against the Angels and the A's. But perhaps worse than that, they only averaged 2.5 runs per game against the Angels, who have given up the eighth most runs in the league, and the A's, who have given up the most runs in the league, with a robust batting average of 205. Do you believe you can give the G-Bag bump to our struggling Rangers?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it's been a while since we've been out here, so I think the good vibes will roll, and if it doesn't commence immediately, then we'll make sure it happens coming up on the 31st when I throw out the first pitch.
Ooh, what is your – I mean, it sounds like your confidence level's pretty high. How are you feeling going into the drawing?
Tremendous. You know, sometimes I just get a feeling. You know, and when it happens in poker, I just sit back and let it happen. So I'm going to do the same here. The immortal words of Bob Knight.
Just going to let the game come to you a little bit.
Yeah.
How often do you go all in?
A lot. Because I play a pretty conservative style, and I like people at the table to think that I'm kind of an idiot and I'm just like doing nothing and then panic going all in. And I do that for the first 2 or 3 hours of the tournament, and whenever I'm all in, I have great cards. And then as the field kind of whittles down, then I have that same table image, and I can start doing it with crappy hands and pick up big pots as the blinds get bigger without any action.
Is there any better feeling? I know winning the pot feels fantastic, but that feeling of just being like all in and watching the panic on their face, that is an
awesome. Oh, yeah, it's feeling. Great. It's great, and especially when you got nothing. You know, you're doing it with like a 10 and an 8 offsuit, and you're like, well, here goes nothing, you know. Kind of getting blinded out of this thing, so got to make a stand somewhere. And, I love it. It's adrenalizing.
Now, I didn't get a chance to see any of these specific back and forths, but, Broadus, did you spend a lot of your day today on social media with people about Von Miller?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
No, it was not at all. It's, people basically took their time to call me an idiot right off the jump, and then so I let it be. So they said their thing, I said my thing, and so sun came up today. I'm out here at the ballpark. I got a new left eye. Feel good about that. We got the drawing today. I'm excited about that. So yeah, everything's good. Everything's good.
All right, I like that. Super
Lisa
positive.
Left eye Lopez.
Ooh, hey, what do you think? I was reading something from Albert Breer about this. What do you think about the potential for Joe Brady with the Bills, especially considering his mentor Sean Payton and how his kind of coaching saga went? What are your anticipations or your thoughts about Joe Brady with the Bills for any of y'all?
Won a national championship at LSU. Coach O was the head coach, but Joe Brady, when you looked at what he was able to do with Jefferson, Chase, Burrow, that group, I mean, he was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He really did a good job. And then you look at last year, but, they move on from Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey was kind of the guy there. He'd given a lot of credit for helping Allen, but then, Brady comes in. I think Brady is an extremely bright guy. I don't know what happened to him at Carolina. That was an interesting thing.
Bad
maybe
situation.
Maybe yeah. It's just a bad situation. But it looks like to me the Buffalo one's a good one. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think the guy's a hell of a coach. I owe him a lot for bringing my program a national championship. So I'll always say good things about him.
Yeah, I mean, he ran their offense, obviously, last year. And now he's got Jim Leonard as his defensive coordinator, which I think most people are pretty excited about. So optimistic there defensively. And he knows Josh Allen, James Cook, and this offense pretty well. So it is interesting, though, with the way they talk about him. And maybe McDermott was a little bit more crotchety, a little bit more kind of – the old school kind of coach, whereas Brady, they're talking about him like he's just sort of the fun drunk uncle at Thanksgiving.
Like Parcells to Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
Kind of dynamic.
Yeah.
So you just never know how that sort of works itself out, and maybe over time that becomes a problem, but in year one, maybe it's something that they can still strike while the iron's hot. When you have Josh Allen, you're in good shape.
Sure. Yeah. It's a tough position, though, because, right, it's like if he doesn't make the Super Bowl, then he's probably a failure.
Sure.
Yeah, and he's 30. You know, I think that's the concern for me if I'm Bills fan. Like, will there be a Josh Allen drop-off as there was a Lamar Jackson drop-off? Is he going to age so well? Because, I mean, he's such an incredible weapon. They have good rush game success, mostly due to the fear of the quarterback running, freeing up the running back. They've been able to do it without great wide receiver play. They've added DJ Moore, but out of the contenders... Mm. You know, they're much closer to Kansas City than teams with good wide receivers. And then they lost David Edwards, one of the best guards in the NFL. He went to the Saints for $60 million. So, you know, I don't know. I think the Bills are as good of a bet as any, but the age would kind of throw me off, because at some point he's going to have really good surroundings, you know, in order to continue to play at an all-pro level.
Now, I feel like we've gotten Dawson and Broadus' thoughts about the first pitch, but Wolchuk, Chiafalo, what is your anticipatory level, hope, dream when it comes to maybe throwing out the first pitch?
I think it would be a great opportunity. It'd be fun. I would love it. I think it would be – it's just an honor. Like, I feel like that's something you can't turn down. It would be nerve-wracking. I think there's a good chance I could go viral for worst opening first pitch in the history of Major League Baseball. No. Actually, 50 Cent's probably going to be the winner.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
I don't think I can do
worse. If you threw the ball, it would be worse than 50
You think so? Yeah. Gosh, I really appreciate
Gene Simmons
the kind
needing
words.
Four tries is pretty bad, too.
Did you play any baseball growing up, Wolchuk?
Hell no. I played baseball. Some T-ball.
You have a better chance of singing, like, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. You know, like, if they put you up in the booth and let you do that with your musical background,
yeah,
that would be you won that.
Yeah,
throwing the first pitch out, that absolute disaster.
Send me to Wrigley. Let's do this.
That musical theater background would really show out. Yeah, in a big
show
way.
Tunes. He would do it like show tune style. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Or with the national anthem stuff that's going on these days, where everybody's kind of botching that, you could step up and say, "This is how it's done."
Yeah.
Okay. This is how we get it done.
You're right.
God Bless America in the seventh thing. That would be a good one for you too.
The stretch.
Yeah.
Let's make this happen. Yeah. I mean, after 4 years of doing pre and post for what felt like a minor league baseball team, I think that this would be a nice reward.
Oh, man. Chiafalo, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I would be excited for sure. But when I see the excitement on some of the teammates' faces, like Dawson and Corey, guys that are really chomping at the bit here, it would feel, you know, I don't know that it would feel right if my name gets drawn and I go out there, and I'm pretty excited and nervous, but knowing that this would be the greatest day of Corey Major's life or Dawson's.
You wouldn't want to imagine the girls in the audience, though.
Oh, yeah.
They're watching Daddy go out there to the mound.
Oh, I mean, I hadn't considered the fact that my kids could be there to watch that. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I think we got the Bailey and Galleon suite here. I'm sure we could allocate some.
Yeah,
they'd be over there trying to hunt Champ down, thinking it was an animal in the building.
Yeah, if I come home and my
hey,
wife,
what are the kids doing?
Out.
They're over there on Champ. What are they doing? And your daughter's like coming off the top rope with a machete.
You know? Oh my God!
They're not watching, Dad. They're taking Champ down. Squirrel. Look, Dad, it's a horse. We could take it down.
What do you find, fellas?
Dad, we got Cody Bradford coming up at 2:40 Rangers player show. We're gonna do this drawing at 2:20, right?
Yep.
Doing the drawing at 2:20, Cody Bradford 2:40, Vach Lombardi at 3, previewing the joint practice with the Saints.
Your
gold as always, thanks for asking.
Yes.
I love it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We'll be back with you in about 20 minutes, and then again tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say good luck to us, Kevin.
Good luck, Corey.